So, Keris is going to do our Bible reading for us today.
Hello, the reading today is Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 22, the cost of following Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead."
So let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you will help us to hear the words that you're saying to us today through this reading and through my words. And I pray that the words I say might be the ones you want me to say, Lord, and that you'll help us to listen to what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want you to try and imagine yourself back into the time of Jesus and the situation at the beginning of this reading that Keris has read for us. You're part of a crowd of people at the edge of Lake Galilee near the village of Capernaum. And you've gone there because you've heard that Jesus was there. And you've heard reports of some amazing healings, even a leper being cleansed. And all kinds of people have been being brought to Jesus, and he's been healing and he's been driving out evil spirits and he's been teaching, and it's just been amazing. And there's this quite a lot of hype built up, and there's lots of excitement around and more people coming. And so there's a bit of a crowd. And on one side of you, you can see the village of Capernaum. And on the other side, you can see the beautiful lake, Lake Galilee, with perhaps a few fishing boats in the harbour. And as you watch, you can see that Jesus is there and he's getting into one of the boats and he's preparing to sail across the lake. And there's a big crowd here, so not everybody's going to be able to get into that boat. Only a few are going to be able to get into that boat and go with Jesus. So he's got the crowd on the lakeside, and then he's got the disciples who are going with him on the boat. These disciples are people who have left everything to follow him. So this is a moment of decision. Who's going to stay behind? And who's going to get into the boat and go with Jesus? Who are the disciples? And what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to get into that boat with him? And this short section that Keris has read for us this morning is really all about that. It's all about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And that word disciple, what it literally means is it means a learner, someone who learns. And those of you that speak a bit of Welsh, you probably know the word dysgu, which means to learn or to teach. And you can see that's got that same root as the word disciple. They come from the same roots. And it's basically someone who learns. And so someone who follows Jesus, someone who's a disciple, is someone who learns from Jesus, who learns to be like him, who learns to imitate him, and who learns what it means to follow him. I think sometimes we can think about disciples in a different way. We can sort of think of them as a bit of a super Christian, a super version of a Christian, someone a bit like an ordinary Christian, but who's a bit more fanatical about it. But you know what? The word Christian is actually only used in the New Testament about 3 times. And the word disciple is used 269 times. And actually, when the word Christian is used, it's used to refer to people who are actually disciples of Jesus. So it's all of us who are actually called to be disciples, who are called to be learners. And many of you might be familiar with what's called the Great Commission, which is these words at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which are kind of like Jesus' last words, his last command to his followers at the end of Matthew's Gospel. And it says this: "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So notice that it doesn't say make Christians of all nations. It doesn't say make converts of all nations, but make disciples of all nations. So Jesus wants followers who are learners, people who are learning every day to be more like him, learning to obey his teaching, learning to live a different kind of life to the people in the crowd, the people around them. Discipleship is about living it out. It's about committing your life to gradually becoming more and more like Jesus. When I was 8 years old, I started learning to play the violin. And at the time, my dad was training to be a Methodist minister, and we were living in a small two-bedroom flat at the Methodist College in Bristol. And there was a flat next door, and there was a flat above us and a flat below us. And I'm sure that the residents of those flats very much appreciated my early efforts at violin playing. I'm sure it just sounded like a cat, you know, kind of endless screeching and wailing and interminable scales and arpeggios up and down again and again. And quite often I practiced before school, so it was quite early in the morning as well. I just really feel sorry for those people. So if you're listening, sorry for all of that violin playing. But do you know what? That practice was vital. It was really, really important. And I didn't get to my grade 8 violin exam overnight because I just decided I wanted to play the violin. It doesn't work like that. You have to practice. It's a process of learning, and putting into practice what you're learning. You sort of learn through doing, and then you learn a bit more and you put it into practice. And it involved commitment, it involved time, it involved perseverance when it got hard, and it involved sacrifice as well. But I carried on because I had a real desire to make that violin sound good. I had a real desire to make beautiful music. And I think being a disciple is just like that. It's a process of lifelong learning and developing that involves commitment and it involves practice. But we carry on because we have a desire to be like Jesus, and we have a desire for our lives to sing with that melody of God's love. So in this passage that Keris read for us, there's two people who come to Jesus who want to be disciples. And the first one seems to talk the talk quite well. And he says, "Oh, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And it's quite easy, isn't it, to talk the talk and make these big declarations of our commitment to God. And I'm sure quite a few of us have kind of blithely stood in church and sung hymns about surrendering our lives to God and how we give our lives to God and how we'll follow wherever he leads us. So we can talk the talk. But Jesus wants him to walk the walk as well. And at first, Jesus' reply to this man sounds a bit strange. He says, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And basically he's saying this: following me is not going to be cosy. It's not going to be cosy. For the people who were going across the lake with Jesus in the boat that day, they were about to find this out in a very real way. Because halfway across the lake, they were about to encounter a terrifying storm. And we'll talk about that next week. And then on the other side of the lake, when they get to the other side, Jesus is actually going to lead them into a scene which is a bit like a horror film, with graveyards and herds of unclean Gentile pigs drowning in the lake and violent demon-possessed men. And we'll be hearing all about that in 2 weeks' time, so I'm sure you'll look forward to that one. So it's not going to be easy for them. They're going into a risky, difficult situation, the people who are following Jesus on the boat. So to follow Jesus, to get into that boat for them, meant that it was not going to be cozy. It was going to be a difficult ride. And eventually, of course, it was going to lead to Jerusalem. It was going to lead to that hill, and it was going to lead to that cross. And obviously today, we can't literally be with Jesus as he walks around on journeys on the road, moving from place to place, leaving homes and families behind, as was the case for those first disciples. In some ways, that was more simple because they just knew what they had to do. They just had to go with him. But the reality is that he also calls us to be disciples. And we have to figure out what that means in our lives. And a lot of the things that it means for us today are also not cozy. The things that Jesus calls us to do are not cozy. Loving our enemies is not cozy. Radical forgiveness of people that have wronged us is not cozy. Pursuing justice is not cozy. Sacrificial giving and generosity is not cozy. Hospitality for people that we don't like or who are very different to us, that's not cozy. Sexual purity is hard. Committing our time and discipline to prayer and reading the scriptures. Owning up to faith when we might get bullied for it. Leaving a place you love because you believe God is calling you to somewhere else. I'll be honest, that's what we're facing at the moment. That's not cozy. It's downright hard. It's a wrench. And sometimes God calls us to stay put in places we don't really want to be, and that's not cozy either. But these things aren't just for ministers. They're not just for deacons. They're not for some super category of Christian. It doesn't exist. I'm an ordinary Christian, just like you're an ordinary Christian. It's for all of us. Jesus wants us to be disciples. He wants you to follow him. He wants you. He wants me to be a learner. He's patient with us. He's patient with our duff notes, with our endless scales and arpeggios. He hears the mangled version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star that we're playing, and he smiles because he knows that we're learning. He knows that we're catching the melody of grace, that we're getting better. And he puts in the harmonies around our little tune, and he fills it in and he makes it beautiful. He makes it sound like a symphony. And this call to discipleship, it's not cozy. And it also might mean going against some of our cultural norms and the expectations of the world around us. The second person who comes to Jesus, he has an even more shocking encounter with Jesus, because he says to Jesus, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And for a Jew at the time, if your father had just died, then dealing with the funeral and the burial was the most important thing that you could do. And it had to be done within 24 hours. And doing that even took precedence over prayer. It took precedence over saying the daily ritual prayers that they would say every morning. So Jesus's reply here would have been massively shocking to those listening. He says, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." You see how shocking that is? In a culture where burying your father is more important than prayer. Now, we don't actually know whether this man's father really had died, or whether he was just maybe elderly or ill, and this was kind of like an excuse, sort of putting things off for a later date when he'd dealt with all his family obligations. You know, once all that's sorted out, then maybe I'll have time to come with you, Jesus. We do that kind of thing as well, don't we? And I don't think either that Jesus is saying that you should stop caring for your families, because in another place we see Jesus actually telling off the Pharisees for not obeying the commandment to honour your father and your mother. But what he says is still shocking, because what he's saying is that being a disciple is urgent. It won't wait for another day. It should be your top priority, not just some add-on to your life that can wait for a few days till you feel ready to do it. And it might involve agonising decisions between following Jesus and pursuing something else that you care deeply about, and it might involve huge sacrifices. And actually, this really spoke to me this week. It really struck me because on Thursday, as some of you know, we went to visit the new schools that Bethan and Johan will be going to in September. And I think until we actually went to those new schools with the children, it hadn't really, really hit home to me and John that we are really doing this, that we are really leaving Bethesda and moving to Holyhead. And it hadn't really hit home the reality of what that means for our whole family. And we trust that God will be faithful. We trust that Jesus is with us. We trust the call that God has put on our lives. But the reality is that it is still agonizing. It is. We're getting into that boat. And actually, we don't know what's waiting for us on the other side. Not really. So are you going to get on the boat? Maybe we've put you off. But we're called to be disciples and we're called to make disciples. So what does that mean to you today? Because Jesus is calling you and he's getting the boat ready. And he says, are you coming? Are you coming with me? Are you going to get in? Maybe it all sounds a bit too hard, a bit too costly. There is a cost. And Jesus does want us to count the cost of following him. But you know, the cost of not going, the cost of not being a disciple is far, far greater. This is a quote from this book by a guy called Dallas Willard, a book called The Greater Mission. And he says this, "The cost of non-discipleship is far greater. Non-discipleship costs abiding peace. It costs a life penetrated throughout by love. It costs a faith that sees everything in the light of God's overriding governance for good. It costs hopefulness that stands firm even in the most discouraging of circumstances, power to do what is right and withstand the forces of evil. In short, non-discipleship costs you the life in all its fullness that Jesus said he came to bring." And that's just what it costs for this life. So let's get on the boat. Being with Jesus trumps everything else. It's the best thing you can ever do. It's the most important thing you can ever do. It won't be cozy. It won't be easy, but there is no one else worth following. Amen. Let's pray. And maybe there's people listening to this today who perhaps you realise you've never really, really committed your life to Jesus. And that actually today is the day for you to make that decision. You're going to go on that boat with him. You don't know what it might mean. You don't know where you're going to end up. But actually, you know that knowing Jesus is the most important thing, that there is no greater thing. And you want to stick with Jesus. You want to follow him. So Lord, I pray that if there's anyone like that listening, that they would open their hearts to you today, that they would not be afraid, that they would take your hand and step into that boat with you, ready for the amazing adventure of being a disciple and following you. And thank you, Lord, that we know that we can enjoy life in all its fullness when we follow you. And Lord, I pray for those of us that have got lazy. I pray for those of us who've just started to see faith as a bit of an add-on to our lives. Maybe we've stopped practicing. Perhaps we've had a couple of weeks off practicing and we need to get back to our scales and arpeggios. Lord God, we thank you that you have grace for us, that you have mercy for us, that you have patience with us, So, Lord, we offer our lives to you once again, and we ask that we can be your disciples. We want to follow you. We thank you for all you've done for us, and we thank you that we have hope for this life, amazing life in all its fullness, and that we have hope for the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.